Bless you for your generous participation in the offering. What a challenging illustration that Rosemary gave to us this morning. Amen. Well done. For the folks that are visiting this first time, how many of you would have said that that is Rose's first time today? Well done. Bless you, Rose. Thank you. Well done. So it's encouraging to see people stepping up to the plate and just volunteering to just make what happens here on a Sunday a blessing to each other. Each and every single one of you, you should feel welcome and right at home now already, but if not, get over it. I want to welcome special people this morning. You're all special, but in besondere, Werner, Marty, en die mense wat julle saamgebring het, ek weet nie hoe lang terug het ons mekaar ontmoet, but it was obviously at a biking event, and then it was a superbike event, and ek het ook nog die uitdrukking op Marty se gesig when Werner decided to invest in some property at Kailami. But it's vir my bemoediging om te sien hoe jy besluit het om die roeping op jou leven te volg en gehoorzaam te wees. And bless you for that. It's good having you guys here. And also Becky. Becky, I call Becky my starfish. There's a story of a little boy walking on the seashore. And because of the change in the tides and climate changes, there were hundreds and thousands of starfishes wat op die strande opgespoel het oor nacht. En die laatie loop die een dag toe by die strand af. And he's taking one starfish at a time and he's throwing it back into the water. And coming towards him in the opposite direction is an elderly man walking his dog, and he's got a little stick. And he asked the laatie, he said, "What maak jy nou?" He said, "No, I'm busy putting the starfish back in the sea." And the old man says to him, "But why are you doing that?" He says, "No, because I don't want the starfish to die. And I mean, it needs to be in the water. It's going to die." En die ouwe man lag toe voor hom. En hy sê, "My sienkie, da's honderde en duise van hierdie goed hierso. Wat te sterwe lê op die strand hierso, wat se verskil gaan dit dan maak?" And the little boy thinks for a while and he says, "Sir, for that little starfish that I throw back to him, it makes a difference." And I had the privilege of meeting Becky January 2018, living alongside of the river. And a long story short, he's been part of our lives since then. And I want you to go out of your way to make Becky feel welcome. You imagine what it's like being very, very different in a place where you're the only person that is different. And everybody's getting along with each other. So make your way over and say, "How's it to Becky?" And why I mentioned that this morning is because I chatted to Becky this morning and found out, "Becky, how are you doing?" And sharp. And I realized he barely understands the English and doesn't understand the Afrikaans. Maar in sy woorde sê hy vir my, "I'm in my room," and we got Becky away from the river and we've got him a place to stay, and he's in his room and he hears the music and he says, "I hear the music and I realize I must be inside." Hallelujah. So bless you. I trust that God is going to meet you at your point of need this morning. This is our second installment on a sermon series that we're busy with called "You Are Worth It." I'm going to read the foundation scripture, pray, and then just unpack what God has in store for us. So sit back and open your heart and mind and experience the ride of your life that God speaks a word into your heart specifically this morning. Romans chapter 5 from verse 6 to 8. It says, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. And now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." Father, we thank you for this encouragement from your word. We thank you for the gracious sacrifice that you made, Lord Jesus. It never becomes old to us. It never becomes same old, same old. It never becomes worn out. The victory and the blessings that you achieve for us at the cross of Calvary are the very reasons that we can get together today and celebrate you. Our prayer is this morning, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, that you would speak your life into each one of our lives this morning. As we celebrate you, we allow you to change our hearts and to mold us into the men and women and children of God that you have destined us to be. To the praise and glory of your name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. If you missed out on last week, we spoke about the fact that an investor would take his most prized possession or asset and invest it in a certain place for a reason, expecting a return on his investment. And we discussed the concept of God investing his most prized possession, if I may call it that, his most valuable possession, his son Jesus. He chose to invest Jesus in mankind. He chose to run the risk of letting Jesus lay down his life for people that might never follow him and might never believe him. Imagine God knowing he's creating the lips and the mouths that are going to spit at him and curse him. He's going to create the hands that's going to rip the beard out of his face. He's going to create the fists that are going to punch him. And yet he created us anyway. That's the investment that God had when he sent Jesus to die in our place. We also discussed the idea of God investing Jesus in this planet. Taking man Jesus and investing Jesus into mankind, wetende dat ons besig is om die planeet af te skryf. Because we are worth it. And that's the idea with this message. You are worth it. We reminded ourselves of that old song from long ago, which says that when he was on the cross, you were on his mind. And what would keep Jesus to the cross? Not the nails, but you. We discussed the fact that the scripture says that for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. What was that joy? Look around you. Look around you. That's the joy that Jesus saw. That's what he saw. Hy het die eindresultaat gesien van sy belegging. Hy het gesien daai dag gaan kom wanneer jy 'n beslissing gaan maak om die Here te volg, jou lewe neer te lê en hom te volg en sê Here, laat U wil geskied word in my lewe. He saw that and that was the joy that kept him to the cross. So what we're going to look at today, three things. Our calling, we look at God's calling on our lives. We're going to look at the concept of God living in us and the concept of God's mind being full of us. Three things. Our calling, God living in us, and God being mindful of us. First of all, our calling. And the context of this is, ek praat nie van, jy voel die oortuiging in jou hart en jou gees that God is calling you to full-time ministry. People use that word so strangely. I remember when I was still serving as a detective in the South African police, I'd been born again, full of the Spirit, and was just doing my thing. And people would say, depending on my rank, they'd call me by the rank and say, you should go into full-time ministry. I'd say to them, duh, I am in full-time ministry. What do you think I'm doing here and now? Because in the police, every opportunity you get is to spread the life, love, and Jesus, the life and love of Jesus into people's lives. Because die omstandighede vereis dit dan, nee. So I was in full-time ministry. So when you say, yes, Lord, here I am, use me. Yes, Lord, send me. Beteken nie omdat jy nie vergoeding kry op daai stadium vir dit that you're not in full-time ministry. You see, folks, Christianity is not a part-time thing that you come and you put your Christian clothes on a Sunday, you sit your oulike Christelike gesiggie op a Sondag, and na Sondag, Monday to Saturday, you live like the devil. It's not a part-time thing. It's a full-time thing. How many of you, praise and worship is not when the deep end leads us in music? Does anybody know that? Praise and worship is what should be happening in your heart all the time. And we just happen to have the blessing and privilege of music accompaniment with it on a Sunday. So what is the call of God then on your life? Well, if you're sitting here and you're watching online and you've come to a stage in your life where you said, Here, ek wil hê, U moet my gebruik. Then there's a call of God in your life. And maybe you haven't got that to that place where you've made that decision yet. But in yourself, you believe you're a Christian. As a Christian, you bear His name. As a Christian, there's a calling on your life to be salt and light. En hy praat nie van die souties nie. To be salt and light. There's a calling on your life to be salt and light in a dying world. So our calling, because you are worth it, God has a special call on your life. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "For you are a chosen people." Repeat after me, "I'm chosen." That's you. "You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession." And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. Think, folks, let's just pause there for a minute. So you is chosen people, a special priesthood. He's called you so that you can show others his goodness. Hierdie roeping op jou lewe, mense, is nie sodat jy jou beste lewe hierso kan geniet. Do you see that? It's not about what we can get out of it. Yes, we get blessings out of it. We've been told that there are 7,000 to 8,000 promises in the scripture. There is promises in it for us. But that calling is primarily not for that. The calling is that we can live lives of sacrificial service unto others. That's the call of God on your life. Wie van julle wil nou nog steeds deel wees van hierdie Christenskap ding, wetende dat jy jou lewe sal moet neerlê ten bate van ander? That's the call of Christianity. And that's what this verse says. So you can show others the goodness of God. For he has called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Why would God call it wonderful light? I'm going to put it in this context. Remember, you are worth it. Say, "I'm worth it." So God calls you out of darkness into light. So that he can... How many of you have done window shopping? Okay. Men as well. We do window shopping when we go... You do tire kicking. You see when you shop for cars and bikes. Hoe kom is het ons staan langs die voertuig en we kick the tire? Doek, doek. Ja, what does that prove? You scoop it higher. So we do window shopping for bikes and cars and whatever. But the people that do the preparation of the shop windows, they have let belichting daarso op strategiese plekke, so that that thing let it besonders mooi kan lyk. They put the right kind of light in the right position with the right brightness, the right Kelvin value, so that that product just looks nah. Now here's the concept. God takes you out of darkness and brings you into his marvelous light because you're worth it, to put you on display so that the world can see. This is what it looks like when you take a handful of dirt, you breathe life into it, you give it grace, you give it forgiveness, you give it beauty, you give it love, you give it power, you give it sound mind, and you release it into the world and you say, "Go, my son, go, my daughter, and tell the people about me." Mense, hoe special is dit dan nie? That's why he's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, to put you on display for the world to see that this is what it looks like when I can take a mess and turn it into a message. That's why he's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, because you are worth it. Do you know that the concept of you being a blood-washed, forgiven, sanctified, born-again, spirit-full child of God, that concept is so fascinating that even the angels are drawn to you. I'm going to show it to you from the scripture. Mense, dink net bietjie hieroor. The angels are going around the throne of God, the Godhead, and every time they come around, they see a different aspect and a facet of his beauty and his nature. They see, wow, that about God. And they go around again, wow, and there's something else about God. And they go around again, and they've been doing that since the moment they've been created. And all they can say is, "Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty." En nog steeds, daar's iets wat die engele laat bewonder. And it's us. Why? Because an angel hasn't been saved by grace. An angel does not know what it's like to be called out of darkness and to be brought into marvelous light. An angel doesn't know what it's like to be hell-bound and have the destiny of your life changed to be heaven-bound. An angel does not know what it's like to have God bleed to death for it. An angel does not know that. So therefore, an angel looks at a blood-washed son and daughter of God. It's like, wow. The angels look at you like that. Stick with me, church. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, the B part says, "It is also wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen." So when you wake up in the morning and your flesh tells you, do this, and the Spirit of God says, no, I'm going to do this, and you walk in obedience, the angels are like, what just happened? Every time you feel the unction of the Spirit of God in you to open your mouth for the cause of Christ, in spite of what the devil throws at you, the angels are like, what just happened? Every time you choose to stay positive and praise and worship in the face of the devil when hell is breaking loose around you, the angels are like, wow, what just happened? Because you're worth it. That's the call of God on your life. Called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's our calling. You see, the value that we attach to something changes the way we deal with it. What I've got in my hand is a block of toilet paper. It's nogal oulik. I don't know what brand it is, but it's got little doggies imprinted on it, and it's 2-ply. I've said before, I fear nothing and no one except God alone, but I'm afraid of using single-ply toilet paper. Ek bang vir dit, hoor. Ek bely, I'm bang. 2-ply. 3-ply is a bonus. So, here's a piece of 2-ply toilet paper. What do I want to use this for? I'm going to mute this thing. That's the value that I place on that piece of paper. But this piece of paper, and I asked for a leopard, instead I got Nelson, but it's okay. Iverste, dinge verander, ne? I handle this piece of paper very, very differently. Because unlike that piece of toilet paper, this to me is worth it. This counts for something. So in the light of that, the value that we place on something determines what we do with it. So if you are worth it to God, imagine the worth that He places in you. Imagine how you're worth it to Him when He says, yes, I'm willing to die for these people. I'm willing to lay down my life for these people. You see, you're not worth something because Jesus died for you. Did you get that? You're not worth something because Jesus died for you. But because you're worth it to Him, He died for you. You were worth it to Him before He died for you. Ephesians 4 and verse 1, it says, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. So wanneer ons begin te verstaan hoeveel is ons werd vir God, surely it should change the way we live. When we realize how much we're worth it to God, surely it should change the way we live. It should change the decisions that we make. It should change the way we conduct ourselves with our friends and family. It should change the way we act when everybody's watching, and it most definitely should change the way we act when nobody is watching. Because you're worth it. The value that God places in us should get us to think, like the Apostle Paul says there. He begs us to lead a life worthy of the calling with which we have been called. Second point, God living inside of us. we're experiencing some very, very real challenges in the suburb where we live. I'm going to speak the facts, but the truth is it can change. Are you with me? The facts are that we're living under the brunt of a failed municipality. Those are the facts. But the truth is that God can change that. So as a result, the place where we're living is becoming increasingly unpleasant to live there because of the failed municipality. Okay? So our surroundings determine the way we act. I'm going to show you two pictures that the audiovisual team is going to put up for us, okay? The first one I'm going to show you is a place that's been hit by war, bombed, opgeblaas, opgeskiet. Where would you choose to live? The first place? Destroyed by war, waiting for the next bombshell, the next sound of automatic weapon fire. I love that sound, by the way. Where would you choose to live? Would you choose to live there? Or, alternatively, would you choose to live in the most peaceful place you can find? Clean, in order, stuff growing. There's just peace and rustigheid. Where would you choose to live? House A? Or house B? How many of you would like to live in house A? Okay. Thank you for working with me. I was like, yes, what am I going to say if people say, yeah, let's. God chooses to live in a war-torn house that is constantly engaged in life-threatening warfare all the time. That's where he chooses to live. Why? Because you are worth it. Jy sê vir jouself, Mosie, waar gaan jy dan heen met hierdie? Kom ek wys vir jou. In spite of the continuous warfare being waged on the inside of us, in our spirit and our flesh, God chooses to live inside of us because we are worth it. We are worth it. Galatians 5 and verse 16 and 17 speaks about this. It says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. For the guys at the back, I somehow slipped in giving this to you, but John 14 and verse 23, if you can bring that up. John 14 and verse 23, it says, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And we, plural, the Father and I, will come to you and make our home inside you. Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Folks, in spite of this continuous warfare being waged in the spirit, and there's not one single person listening to this today that can tell me, jy beklei nie hierdie stryd nie. You don't have the struggle. Jy lieg, man. Jy lieg. As long as you are a spirit that's housed in a fleshly tent, you have the struggle. We'll continue to have the struggle until the day Jesus comes or the day he takes us home. That's how it is. So there's this continuous battle between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh and the spirit. The flesh wants to do its own thing, and the spirit says no. All the time. It is a war-torn zone. It's not a demilitarized zone. God chooses to live there. God chooses to live inside of us. Why? Because you're worth it. You're worth it. He's willing to put up with our issues, because we are worth it. Imagine this constantly going on inside of us, and knowing that as a Christian, God lives inside of us. How does that affect the decisions we make? Hoeveel van ons dink, ah, well, dis my lewe, ek gaan daarmee maak wat ek wil. Dis my liggaam, ek gaan daarmee maak wat ek wil. Dis my geld, Dis my verhoudinge, dis my familie, my kar, my bike, my bikes, meervoud. Whatever, ek gaan daarmee maak wat ek wil. You have nothing except such has been given to you from above. We have nothing except that which God has enabled us to be stewards of. So knowing that God lives inside of you, how does that affect the decisions that you make in our relationships? You see, when things are going fine with us, dit is nogal heel wat aansienlik makkeliker om bietjie meer goddelik te wees. Is dit nie so nie? When it's lekker, living in the land of plenty, just another day in paradise, hallelujah, then it's easy to be a Christian. But when nothing is going your way, when the hits keep coming, and we said it's not Radio Boslace or 94.7, the hits keep coming, it's one issue after the next, how does it then affect the decisions that we make knowing that God lives inside of us? When it comes to decision making, halt. Halt means stop. When you hurt, angry, lonely, or tired, halt. You get that? When you're hurting, don't make a decision. When you're angry, don't make a decision. When you're lonely, don't make a decision. When you're tired, don't make a decision. Now, folks, life being life, sometimes that's not possible. Sometimes we have to. But most of the time, in His grace, God gives us the opportunity to stop. Halt. Please don't make a life-changing decision based on current emotional turmoil, current hurt, current anger, current loneliness, current tiredness. Halt. I implore you in Jesus' name, just give God a chance to speak His life-giving solution into your situation. So the fact that God lives inside of us, how should that be affecting the decisions that we make? Never make a long-term decision based on temporary discomfort. Point number three, the fact that God is mindful of us. Take a few moments to think about the thing that you think about the most. Right there where you're seated. Think about that. What do you think about the most? Your working day. What do you think about before you go to sleep at night? What's the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning? Take a few moments to think about that which you think about the most. And then ask yourself this question. Myself, why do I think about it so much? Why am I so mindful of that? Why is this thing or this person or this situation occupying my mind so much? I submit to you because vir een of ander rede is dit vir jou belangrik. It's important to you. That's why you're thinking about it. Now, of all the things that God could be thinking of, you are worth it. Therefore, He's thinking of you. Psalm 8 and verse 4, it asks the question, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? The psalmist is asking and saying, Lord, why are you thinking about us all the time? The good shepherd of Israel, that's God, never slumbers or sleeps, but He's thinking about you all the time. All the time. Why would God be thinking about us all the time? Because you're worth it. My brother, my sister, I hope and pray that the message is getting across. God is mindful of you. Because you're worth it. You're worth it to God. Think about the thing that you look at the most. Maybe you have a wandering eye. Maybe you have an eye that's very, very focused. There's a song by Misty Edwards, I believe it is, speaks about having dove's eyes. Because a dove, has the ability to focus on one thing only at a time. Dis hoekom is so maklik is om hulle raak te ry. hulle kan nie fokus op 'n voertuig op 'n bike wat naby kom, road pizza. Dan val die vere daar. Why? They've got dove's eyes. And she sings a song about us having dove's eyes for God. They were just focused on Jesus. Think about the thing that you stare at the most. Now, sadly, the reality of today is that in all probability, it's some form of electronic screen. Ouch. Studies have shown that the eyesight of children has deteriorated since the advent of mobile devices. Because hulle staar hulle blind aan selfone en computer screens en tablets en ek weet nie wat nie, and their ability to have hand-eye coordination is deteriorating this generation. Because ons staar ons blind aan mobile devices en selfone en whatever. Studies have shown that the general health of children's eyes and their hand-eye coordination is deteriorating because they're not outside playing outdoor sports and doing things that involve balls and activities that would require hand-eye coordination. Are our mobile devices affecting us like that? And maybe let's just leave the mobile devices for now. That's another time. Are we staring at other things too much so that it's affecting how we are as people? Staar ons blind aan die moeilikhede en die probleme in Suid-Afrika. Laat ons nie die werke van 'n lewendige God kan sien nie. Ons staar ons so blind in die issues en die doen dit nie reg nie en die doen daai nie reg nie en dit is verkeerd en daai is verkeerd en dan loop ons rond, when are they going to do something about this? When are they going to... Who's the they? It's the people of God who are the they. They are the ones that the world is waiting to see make a difference and a positive change. Ek het gepraat oor ons woonbuurt. My spare rib is miff, she wants to move, and I said to my angel, I believe God has placed us here to make a difference. I can go to a municipality, and I'm not knocking anybody who moves for whatever reasons. That's you and your conviction. I'm sharing my conviction with you. Is that okay? I believe that we are where we're at to make a difference in that place. Until God says, time out. Until he says, he hadn't said, time out. I'm there to make a difference. I want to be part of the solution and not part of the problems. So staar ons blind aan al die moeilikhede. And folks, let's be real with each other. There's more than enough reason to vat ons pie and vai. There's more than enough reason to go find greener grass in some other country. Maar kom net daar aan, then you've got a whole new kettle of fish to deal with. And yet God is mindful of us. And why am I speaking about what we're looking at? Stick with me, and I'm going to start to land this thing. This is the last point, by the way. That was a good place to say amen. What do you spend most of your time looking at? Well, what does God look at? Because you're worth it, God's eye is focused on you. The King James says it like this, New King James, Psalm 32 and verse 8. Says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I'll guide you with my eye. So to recap, you are worth it to God. Therefore, he's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light to put you on display so the world can see what a redeemed person looks like. There's a call in your life to go and make a difference. Then, the fact that God chooses to live inside of us, out of choosing to live anywhere in all of creation, he chooses to live inside people like you and me that have a daily struggle between darkness and light. Darkness and light all the time. And the third concept is that he's mindful of you and he watches over you. Folks, as I close this thing, this thought I'd like to leave with you is that if we see that we're worth it to God and God looks at us, how can we get to learn and realize our own self-worth? We do this by doing what God does to us. God looks at us. My encouragement is that we look to the Lord. This morning, there's a building full of people who are facing several challenges. Many difficulties. You're struggling. You're battling. You've been in a better place in your life than what you're at now. My encouragement is that we do what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. And verse 2 says, we fix our eyes on Jesus. My brother, my sister, whatever challenge you got this morning, ek kan dit nie fix nie. Ek kan dit nie regpreek nie. Ek kan nie 'n paar teksverse quoteer en sê, bless you, hallelujah, daar gaat jy, dan is jou probleem uit. No, but I know the God who can. My encouragement to you is, whatever difficulty you're facing, right there where you see it, choose to turn your eyes and fix them on Jesus. And Hebrews 12 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Focusing our eyes on Jesus. Focus our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised its shame, sat down at the right hand of God. Fix our eyes on Jesus. En op 'n manier, op sy manier, and his way, he'll show you the way to make it possible for you to come out the other side victorious. Our prayer is that by the Spirit of God, as we meditate on this, deafen your ears to the lies and accusations of the devil and the mistakes of the past that are washed under the blood, and start saying to yourself, I am worth it to God. I'm worth it to Jesus. I'm worth it. And folks, we say this sometimes and we joke about it. Fake it until you make it. Miskien is alles wat in jou is as mens wees, is teenstrijdig met dit. You don't feel like you're worth it. You don't think like you're worth it. Die mense rondom jou stem saam met die duivel. Jy is nie dit werd nie. I bring good news to you this morning. To God, you are worth it. With the deep end come up as we pray over each other and pray a blessing over each other. I'd like to give you this opportunity as we pray to do business with God right there where you're seated. Maybe the devil has accused you long enough and convinced you that no, you're not worth it because of your past mistakes. And you can't see why God would love you. Instead of looking for answers to everything right now, would you just do that practically, please? Focus your attention on Jesus. If it helps you to close your eyes, then close your eyes. That's fine. Whatever. All I'm asking is that you don't let anything or anybody around you distract you right now. This is the most important part of the service, that we just allow God to do business in our hearts. As you listen to this encouragement this morning, focus on Jesus. You think to yourself, well, Mozzie, I can't see him. That's fine. The concept of God becoming a man, going through childhood, dying on the cross, shedding his blood, rising from the grave, going to heaven to prepare a place for you. Focus on that, because you are worth it. The fact that God would choose to come and live inside of you in spite of our issues, because you're worth it. The fact that God would choose to think about you, because you're worth it. That he would focus his eyes on you, because you're worth it. Let that be an encouragement to you this morning. As we continue to pray, I'd like to pray for each person. Maybe you're at a place where you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you think, Mozzie, there's no way that Jesus would die for me. Yes, he did. And maybe you've run away from God's call in your life for the longest time. The Spirit of God has been speaking to you this morning and you feel that conviction in your heart and you want to start living with Jesus. You want to start this walk, and something or someone, maybe yourself, has kept you away from that. My brother, my sister, now is the hour of salvation. The scripture says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and being certain of what we do not see. Now is the perfect opportunity for you in your heart to pray along these lines and make a commitment to walking a walk with the Lord. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and I want to pray specifically for you this morning. If that is you, in your heart, right there, where you seated. pray this with me, please. As you say, God, I don't understand everything. The mystery of you and the Bible and eternal life. Ek het nie antwoord in die Here. But I choose to believe this morning in your Son, Jesus. Jesus, I believe in my heart and with my mouth I declare that you are God's Son. I believe that you died for me. That you laid down your life for me. That your blood was shed to pay the price for my sins. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for giving up your life so that I can pick up a new life. From this moment, I ask you to forgive me of my past and all my sins. Wash me clean. Give me a new heart and a new mind and a new life. I invite you into my heart to be Lord of my life. Spirit of God, fill my life to overflowing. Baptize me in your Spirit, Lord. And give me the strength to follow you one day at a time, one step at a time, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. I ask that all of you stand with me this morning as we pray for each other. Before we worship the Lord together one more time as the deep end leads us in a song. If you prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you to speak to one of us after the service or get in touch with us online if you're watching online and share that commitment that you've made with us. We'd love to be in touch with you and make sure that you cared for and looked after and nurtured and welcomed in to a family of God if you do not have a church family that you are part of. And for every one of us here, may the Spirit of God remind you that you are worth it. Nie as nie, maar wanneer jy die week ingaan en die vyand beskuldig jou weer van vooraf. Ah, gesien nie moeite werd nie, man. Hoekom volhard jy in hierdie ding? Why do it anyway? Look how many times the church has disappointed you. Look how many times God has let you down. I want to tell you that's a lie from the devil. You are worth it. Thank you for coming this morning, making the time to receive something from the Lord. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love you dearly. Thank you for coming and have a great week. As you go out, do it to them before they do it to you and show random acts of kindness. Let's worship the Lord together one more time over the deep end. Thank you.